No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 23rd day of September. Some of you wanted it back, so there it is. I hope you're well. I'm glad that you're here. I am grateful to be here in this beautiful global campfire. Today we begin the book of Esther. We're going to read chapters 1 through 5. And this week we are reading the contemporary English version, Esther chapter 1. King Xerxes of Persia lived in his capital city of Susa and ruled 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. During the third year of his rule, Artaxerxes gave a big dinner for all his officials and officers. The governors and leaders of the provinces were also invited, and even the commanders of the Persian and Median armies came. For 180 days, he showed off his wealth and spent a lot of money to impress his guests with the greatness of his kingdom. At the end of this time, King Artaxerxes gave another dinner and invited everyone in the city of Susa, no matter who they were. The eating and drinking lasted 7 days in the beautiful palace gardens. The area was decorated with blue and white cotton curtains tied back with purple linen cords that ran through silver rings fastened to marble columns. Couches of gold and silver rested on pavement that had all kinds of designs made from costly bright-colored stones and marble and mother-of-pearl. The guests drank from gold cups, and each cup had a different design. The king was generous and said to them, "Drink all you want." Then he told his servants, "Keep their cups full." While the men were enjoying themselves, Queen Vashti gave the women a big dinner inside the royal palace. By the seventh day, King Xerxes was feeling happy because of so much wine, and he asked his seven personal servants, Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, to bring Queen Vashti to him. The king wanted her to wear her crown and let his people and his officials see how beautiful she was. The king's servants told Queen Vashti what he had said, but she refused to go to him, and this made him terribly angry. The king called in the seven highest officials of Persia and Media. They were Karshina, Chitar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, and Memucan. These men were very wise and understood all the laws and customs of the country, and the king always asked them what they thought about such matters. The king said to them, "Queen Vashti refused to come to me when I sent my servants for her. What does the law say I should do about that?" Then Memucan told the king and the officials, "Your Majesty, Queen Vashti has not only embarrassed you, but she has insulted your officials and everyone else in all the provinces. The women in the kingdom will hear about this, and they will refuse to respect their husbands. They will say, 'If Queen Vashti doesn't obey her husband, why should we?' Before this day is over, the wives of the officials of Persia and Media will find out what Queen Vashti has done, and they will refuse to obey their husbands. They won't respect their husbands, and their husbands will be angry with them. Your Majesty, if you agree, you should write for the Medes and Persians a law that can never be changed. This law would keep Queen Vashti from ever seeing you again. Then you could let someone who respects you be queen in her place. When the women in your great kingdom hear about this new law, they will respect their husbands, no matter if they are rich or poor." King Artaxerxes and his officials liked what Memucan had said, and he sent letters to all of his provinces. Each letter was written in the language of the province to which it was sent, and it said that husbands should be in charge of their wives and children. After a while, King Artaxerxes got over being angry, but he kept thinking about what Vashti had done and the law that he had written because of her. Then the king's personal servants said, "Your Majesty, a search must be made to find you some beautiful young women. You can select officers in every province to bring them to the place where you keep your wives in the capital city of Susa. Put your servant Hegai in charge of them, since that is his job. He can see to it that they are given the proper beauty treatments. Then let the young woman who pleases you most take Vashti's place as queen." King Xerxes liked these suggestions, and he followed them. At this time, a Jew named Mordecai was living in Susa. His father was Jer, and his grandfather, Shimei, was the son of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. Kish was one of the people that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem when he took King Jeconiah of Judah to Babylonia. Mordecai had a very beautiful cousin named Esther, whose Hebrew name was Hadassah. He had raised her as his own daughter after her father and mother died. When the king ordered the search for beautiful women, many were taken to the king's palace in Susa, and Esther was one of them. Hegai was put in charge of all the women, and from the first day, Esther was his favorite. He began her beauty treatments at once. He also gave her plenty of food and 7 special maids from the king's palace, and they had the best rooms. Mordecai had warned Esther not to tell anyone that she was a Jew, and she obeyed him. He was anxious to see how Esther was getting along and to learn what had happened to her. So each day, he would walk back and forth in front of the court where the woman lived. The young women were given beauty treatments for 1 whole year. The first 6 months, their skin was rubbed with olive oil and myrrh, and the last 6 months, it was treated with perfumes and cosmetics. Then each of them spent the night alone with King Xerxes. When a young woman went to the king, she could wear whatever clothes or jewelry she chose from the women's living quarters. In the evening, she would go to the king, and the following morning, she would go to the place where his wives stayed after being with him. There, a man named Sheashgaz was in charge of the king's wives. Only the ones the king wanted and asked for by name could go back to the king. Xerxes had been king for 7 years when Esther's turn came to go to him during Tebeth, the 10th month of the year. Everyone liked Esther. The king's personal servant, Hegai, was in charge of the women, and Esther trusted Hegai and asked him what she ought to take with her. Xerxes liked Esther more than he did any of the other young women. None of them pleased him as much as she did, and he immediately fell in love with her and crowned her queen in place of Vashti. In honor of Esther, he gave a big dinner for his leaders and officials. Then he declared a holiday everywhere in his kingdom and gave expensive gifts. When the young women were brought together again, Esther's cousin Mordecai had become a palace official. He had told Esther never to tell anyone that she was a Jew, and she obeyed him just as she had always done. Bigthana and Teresh were the 2 men who guarded King Xerxes' rooms, but they got angry with the king and decided to kill him. Mordecai found out about their plans and asked Queen Esther to tell the king what he had found out. King Xerxes learned that Mordecai's report was true, and he had the 2 men hanged. Then the king had all of this written down in his record book as he watched. Later, King Xerxes promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, to the highest position in his kingdom. Haman was a descendant of Agag, and the king had given orders for his officials at the royal gate to honor Haman by kneeling down to him. All of them obeyed, except Mordecai. When the other officials asked Mordecai why he disobeyed the king's command, he said, "Because I am a Jew." They spoke to him for several days about kneeling down, but he still refused to obey. Finally, they reported this to Haman to find out if he would let Mordecai get away with it. Haman was furious to learn that Mordecai refused to kneel down and honor him. And when he found out that Mordecai was a Jew, he knew that killing only Mordecai was not enough. Every Jew in the whole kingdom had to be killed. It was now the 12th year of the rule of King Xerxes. During Nisan, the first month of the year, Haman said, "Find out the best time for me to do this." The time chosen was Adar, the 12th month. Then Haman went to the king and said, "Your Majesty, there are some people who live all over your kingdom and won't have a thing to do with anyone else. They have customs that are different from everyone else's, and they refuse to obey your laws. We would be better off to get rid of them. Why not give orders for all of them to be killed? I can promise that you will get tons of silver for your treasury." The king handed his official ring to Haman, who hated the Jews, and the king told him, "Do what you want with those people. You can keep their money." On the 13th day of Nisan, Haman called in the king's secretaries and ordered them to write letters in every language used in the kingdom. The letters were written in the name of the king and sealed by using the king's own ring. At once, they were sent to the king's highest officials, the governors of each province, and the leaders of the different nations in the kingdom of Xerxes. The letters were taken by messengers to every part of the kingdom, and this is what was said in the letters. On the 13th day of Adar, the 12th month, all Jewish men, women, and children are to be killed, and their property is to be taken. King Xerxes gave orders for these letters to be posted where they could be seen by everyone all over the kingdom. The king's command was obeyed, and one of the letters was read aloud to the people in the walled city of Susa. Then the king and Haman sat down to drink together, but no one in the city could figure out what was going on. When Mordecai heard about the letter, he tore his clothes in sorrow and put on sackcloth. Then he covered his head with ashes and went through the city crying and weeping, but he could go only as far as the palace gate, because no one wearing sackcloth was allowed inside the palace. In every province where the king's orders were read, the Jews cried and mourned, and they went without eating. Many of them even put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. When Esther's servant girls and her other servants told her what Mordecai was doing, she became very upset and sent Mordecai some clothes to wear in place of the sackcloth, but he refused to take them. Esther had a servant named Hathach, who had been given to her by the king. So she called him in and said, "Find out what's wrong with Mordecai and why he's acting this way." Hathach went to Mordecai in the city square in front of the palace gate, and Mordecai told him everything that had happened. He also told him how much money Haman had promised to add to the king's treasury if all the Jews were killed. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the orders for the murder of the Jews and told him that these had been read in Susa. He said, "Show this to Esther and explain what it means. Ask her to go to the king and beg him to have pity on her people, the Jews." Hathach went back to Esther and told her what Mordecai had said. She answered, "Tell Mordecai there is a law about going in to see the king, and all his officials and his people know about this law. Anyone who goes in to see the king without being invited by him will be put to death. The only way that anyone can be saved is for the king to hold out the gold scepter to that person. And it's been 30 days since he has asked for me." When Mordecai was told what Esther had said, he sent back this reply, "Don't think that you will escape being killed with the rest of the Jews just because you live in the king's palace. If you don't speak up now, we will somehow get help, but you and your family will be killed. It could be that you were made queen for a time like this." Esther sent a message to Mordecai saying, "Bring together all the Jews in Susa and tell them to go without eating for my sake. Don't eat or drink for 3 days and nights. My servant girls and I will do the same. Then I will go in to see the king, even if it means I must die." Mordecai did everything Esther told him to do. 3 days later, Esther dressed in her royal robes and went to the inner court of the palace in front of the throne. The king was sitting there facing the open doorway. He was happy to see Esther, and he held out the gold scepter to her. When Esther came up and touched the tip of the scepter, the king said, "Esther, what brings you here? Just ask, and I will give you as much as half of my kingdom." Esther answered, Your Majesty, please come with Haman to a dinner I will prepare for you later today. The king said to his servants, hurry and get Haman so we can accept Esther's invitation. The king and Haman went to Esther's dinner, and while they were drinking wine, the king asked her, what can I do for you? Just ask, and I will give you as much as half of my kingdom. Esther replied, Your Majesty, if you really care for me and are willing to do what I want, please come again tomorrow with Haman to the dinner I will prepare for you. At that time, I will answer Your Majesty's question. Haman was feeling great as he left, but when he saw Mordecai at the palace gate, he noticed that Mordecai did not stand up or show him any respect. This made Haman really angry, but he did not say a thing. When Haman got home, he called together his friends and his wife, Zeresh, and started bragging about his great wealth and all his sons. He told them the many ways that the king had honored him and how all their other officials and leaders had to respect him. Haman added, "That's not all. Besides the king himself, I'm the only person Queen Esther invited for dinner. She has also invited the king and me to dinner tomorrow. But none of this makes me happy as long as I see that Jew Mordecai serving the king." Haman's wife and friends said to him, "Have a gallows built about 22 meters high, and tomorrow morning ask the king to hang Mordecai there. Then later, you can have dinner with the king and enjoy yourself." This seemed like a good idea to Haman, and he had the gallows built. Okay, so this is the first half of the Book of Esther. We will finish the Book of Esther together tomorrow. But first of all, I would just like to own that I realized the pronunciation of Haman was actually Haman about three quarters of the way through the reading today. So Haman, who I introduced, then became Haman. Same person there, just for clarification. We're going to pause here today, and we will recap the entire Book of Esther together tomorrow. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this space and this time together. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for never leaving us. We give you praise. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. We are celebrating 20 years of Daily Audio Bible this year. Thank you for celebrating with us as we give back in different creative ways and create different products, honoring and celebrating and memorializing 20 years, two decades of the Bible being read fresh every day, every single day for 20 years. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. We are so grateful that we don't have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB, PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you're utilizing your app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand section, and lastly look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164, or again utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that wheel over to chronological to ensure that it gets to the right place. That's it for me today. We'll finish the Book of Esther together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, DAB family. This is Eddie in Las Vegas. I'm a new creation in Christ. It's been a while since I called in, but I've been listening a long time. I pray every day. You know, I hear you guys and I pray. I'm calling because I have a request for a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine I've known for a very long time. She's sick right now, family, and she really needs our prayers. She's going through a really challenging time. She's basically kind of walked away from the Lord through a bad relationship that took her out, you know, from her faith. She's trying to come back. She's dealing with an addiction. She's trying to get into a detox, but we're having trouble finding a place. She's actually here with me right now. And we're trying to find something, someplace to get her in, and we're not having any luck. And she just got out of the hospital and told us, they say she's got cancer too, on top of all that. And she's trying to get clean. And I'm just asking this family to come together and pray for her. Her name is Stacy. So I pray in the name of Jesus that he will guide our steps. He will give me wisdom to help her, and that he would just intervene in her life, that his will be done, and just help her to overcome this time. And I pray that, you know, maybe for a miracle. I know God can do a miracle. We know this. To bring healing, restoration, and bring her back, her faith back. I mean, she loves Jesus. She just, you know what happens. We walk away, or we make mistakes, but we're out of time here. Love you. Take care. God bless.
Hi, DABC family. This is his precious little lamb. Jill, this is Carrie. I live in Lancaster, Ohio. And I just love how you say September. So keep doing it. Do it every September. I love it. It sounds so neat. It's such a fun thing. So it cheers me up. And I wanted to let you know, like, everybody, and especially Jill with one part here, she'll know in a minute, Jill, what I'm talking about. But in May, my birthday was on the 5th, I went to the ER because my ribs hurt and I didn't know why. Ended up, I had shingles. Oh boy, those are real painful. And anyways, I don't have very long to say everything, but so I was on medicine for the pain all May, and in June I ended up with migraines, and I was in the hospital for 3 days figuring a lot of stuff out, and I ended up with Lyme disease. And here's what you understand, Jill. Bell's palsy. I never heard it until you had it, and now I have it, and now I completely understand it. So anyway, blessings to all, and love you.
Family, would you join me in praying for the Kirk family? Father God, I bring Erica Kirk and her two beautiful children before you as they mourn the loss of a beloved husband and father. The days ahead are going to be difficult and painful, and you tell us that you take care of the widow and the fatherless, and we trust you for that, but also the trauma of having seen him killed in front of their eyes. It's just horrendous and so traumatic. And we just pray that you would just heal them and restore them from this severe pain. And also just keep in mind what you said, what your word says in Genesis, that what man meant for evil, you meant for good, for the saving of many lives. And we're already seeing that. We're already hearing about so many people who have never gone to church or who have not gone to church in a long time are now going to church because of something Charlie Kirk said that stirred a desire in their heart to get to know you better. Your word says that if you come looking for me, you will find me. And so for each seed that Charlie sowed, I pray that it would be fruitful. Your word says, you say your word does not come back to you void. So I just pray blessings over all the work that was done in your name. I pray that your name would be glorified and honored, that this tragedy would be another opportunity for you to turn ashes into beauty. Amen.